Today's Shiur Masechta Yuma Da'beis. As we begin the new Masechta Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, Masechta Yuma. Masechta Yuma discusses Yom HaKippurim. It speaks about the various halachas of Yom Kippur. The Mashal writes that the reason why Masechta Yuma is called Masechta Yuma, Yuma means the day. Why is it called Yuma? Says the Mashal, because Yom Kippur, the subject of our Masechta, is the Yom HaMiyuchad B'Shana. It's the most outstanding, special day of the year. And because Yom Kippur is that special day, the Pasuk, the Gemara wants, as we begin the Masechta, and every day that Amit Hashem, we will be learning the Masechta, wants us to remember the specialty and the uniqueness of the day of Yom Kippur. The Marsham says, the Medrash says on the Pasuk, Yomim Yotzru V'loy Echad Behem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created many days. V'loy Echad Behem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has one day of the year which is most special to him. And that is the day of Yom Kippur. I saw from the B'nai Yisachar that he says that the reason it's called Yuma that day, because the day of Yom Kippur is so holy, and it's a day that the Satan and the Yetzer Hara try to take away from us. So we don't want to publicize that day. And therefore, we only say Yuma. We only say that day, but we never want to say the word Yuma. We don't want to say we say Yuma, but we don't want to say Yom Kippur. That is how special the day is. Because as the Mefarshim explained, that the specialty of the day of Yom Kippur is that that's the one day of the year that the Satan has no real power. And that's why this name Yuma, besides that it wants to indicate how special this day is, besides that it doesn't want to say, as we just said, the word Yom Kippur explicitly, it also doesn't want to, says it in Aramish. It doesn't say Yoim, it says Yuma. And the reason is because we know that the Malachim don't understand Aramish. And therefore, as in trying to hide and conceal from the Yetzer Hara, from the Satan, this day, we call it Yuma in a language that they don't really understand. I also saw that the Sefer Yaakov HaGershuni explains. The Pasuk says at the beginning of the Torah, V'yerev v'yivoyker, says the Medrash, V'yerev, Elu maseim shel Rishoyim. Erev, darkness, represents what the Rishoyim do. V'yivoyker, light, morning, Elu maseim shel tzadikim. Yoim Echad, continues the Medrash, Shnoslam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoim Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us one day in a year, Vezu, and what is that day? Yom HaKippurim. So we see that the Torah already, when it says Yom Echad, refers to Yom Kippur. That's why, since the Torah, when it speaks about Yom Echad, refers to Yom Kippur, that's why the Mishnah, the Masechta, is called Masechta Yuma. The Goyim already discuss why is Masechta Yuma here. It would make sense, it seems, that we should have Rosh Hashanah, and then Yuma, and then Sukkah, because we should follow the order of the Yom Tovim. So I saw that the Goyim of Sri Goyim already explains, because we know, and we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, that Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shabboson. Yom Kippur has the same din as Shabbos. And therefore, we want to bring and put Masechta Yuma as close as possible to Masechta Shabbos, because since the halacha of Yom Kippur and Shabbos are so similar. The Rambam, however, gives a different reason. He says, the Torah, when we're speaking about the order of the Masechtas, he explains, and say the Mayid, so he says, the first the Torah tells us the halacha of Shabbos, then in Parashas Kisisa, the Torah teaches us the halachas of the Shkolim, and then in Parshas Achrei Mois, we learn about Yom Kippur, whereas about the other Yom Kippur, we only learn later in Parashas Emor. So it says the Rambam, the Mishnah is following the order that we have in the Torah in listing the Yom Tovim. So says the Mishnah, Shivas Yomim Kodim Kippurim, 7 days before Yom Kippur, Mafrishin Kain Gadol Mi Beisai. We know the Avodah on Yom Kippur is primarily done by the Kain Gadol, and the Kain Gadol has to be in a state of Kedusha V'Tahara. And the way we achieve that status of Kedusha V'Tahara is by the Kohen Gadol being separated for 7 days before Yom Kippur in a special chamber in the Lishkas HaPanhedrin. They put him in the Lishkas HaPanhedrin. They put him into the Lishkas HaPanhedrin. The Tosfos, at the beginning of the Masechta, points out that if we follow Mishnayos throughout Shas, in some Mishnayos in Shas, we have the number, and then we have the subject, what the number refers to. Our Mishnah. The Mishnah begins with Shivas Yomim. The Mishnah begins with telling us the number 7. And after the Mishnah tells us the number 7, then the Mishnah tells us what for. Shivas Yomim, Mafrish and Kohen Gadol, we separate the Kohen Gadol. In other places, we find just the opposite. For example, the Mishnah Masechta, the Mishnah begins Masechta Kedushin, says the Isha Niknas B'Shloisha Drachim. So in that Mishnah, the Mishnah first mentions Isha Niknas, what we're speaking about, and then it mentions the number. So Taisa says that there is no real reason for this halacha. Whatever the Tana felt was easier to express, that's what the Tana said, not that there's any special reason. However, I did see that there are others that give different reasons. One explanation that the Sefer Sich Yitzchok suggests is that Moshe Rabbeinu, before he went up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, separated himself for 6 days. So we would think that we should also only have separate the Kohen Gadol for 6 days. That's why our Mishnah says Shivas Yomim. The Chiddush is that when it comes to Yom Kippur, before he has to separate it for 7 days. Another pshat that the Mashal wants to suggest is part of the reason why the Kohen Gadol has to separate himself from everything for 7 days is, as we mentioned a moment ago, we want to connect the lesson of Yom Kippur to Shabbos. As we said, the Torah HaKadosh calls Yom Kippur Shabbos Shabbosim. And therefore, associating the number 7 with Yom Kippur is a very important lesson that we're trying to teach. And in fact, he continues to say that Yom Kippur is the 7th Yontif. First is 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, 1 day of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, 1 day, the first day of Pesach, the last day of Pesach, and Shavuos, and then Yom Kippur is the 7th Yontif. Yom Kippur is like the Shabbos of the Yom Tovim. And another pshat that the Bnei Yisoschu suggests is that the Tana, is trying to show us that there's a difference between Yom Kippur and the days before Yom Kippur. The days before Yom Kippur are days. They're special days. They're days where the Kohen Gadol prepares himself for the Avodah. However, they are regular days. Whereas Yom Kippur is not limited. Yom Kippur is L'malam and Azman. The Achroinim, the Pnei Yeshua, and the Sfasemis focus, what does the Mishnah say the word Shivas? What does it say, as is usually the way the Tana expresses himself, with the word Shiva? So the Pnei Yeshua wants to suggest that we want to learn that those 7 days have to be Ritzufim, that those days have to be straight, 7 full days, 7 24-hour days. And in fact, the Sfasemis wants to say that that's part of what the Mishnah wants to teach us, that for whatever reason, the Kohen Gadol cannot separate himself for the whole 7 days. He missed the first day. Once you can't have the 7 days, then there's no point in being separated even for 6 days or whatever amount you can. And if that's the case, the question that Tosfos asked, we now have another answer. The big chiddush in our Mishnah is not just that the Kohen Gadol has to separate himself for 7 days before Yom Kippur, but the chiddush of our Mishnah is that Shivas Yomim, those days have to be a full 7 days. And if you don't have a full, then there's no point in separating yourself at all. Machloikus Rishonim, if this halacha is a din daraisa, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Surah in the Gemara that this is based on Psukim, and therefore the some Rishonim that suggest these Psukim make this halacha, this rule, into daraisa. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that it's only in a smachta. Another question is that I saw that Rav Leib Malan Zatzal wants to discuss. When we speak about this din, that the Kohen Gadol has to separate himself for 7 days, is it a din in the Kohen that he has to be separated? Or is it a din Avodas Yom Kippurim? That Avodas Yom Kippurim should be done by an individual who was separated before. He says the Nafka Mina will be, if it's a din in the Avodas Yom Kippurim, so if there are aspects of the Avodah Yom Kippurim that don't have to be done by the Kohen Gadol, then the halacha would be that whoever would be doing those avoiders would have to separate themselves. But if it's a din in the Kohen Gadol, so then only the Kohen Gadol has to separate himself, but not anyone else. The Aruch HaShulchan says that during those 7 days, the Kohen Gadol has to be separated. He has to be in the Lishkas of Panhedrin, and he may not leave for even a temporary, even for whatever circumstances, even temporarily. Particularly, says the Aruch HaShulchan, since as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the source from where we learn that the Kohen Gadol has to be separated for these days is from the Shivas Yimei Miluim. And when the Torah speaks about the Shivas Yimei Miluim, the Torah says, when Pesach oil married leseitzu shivas yomim. So there the Torah was very clear, has to be all the time for separated. So too, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is the halacha for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur. He has to be separated and there's no break. Even temporarily, may he not leave the base, the Harabais, the base of Mikdash compound, to go out under any circumstances. So says the Mishnah, further, maskin loy koyin achatachtov, we designate a different koyin, shema yira psul, in case something happens to the first koyin gadol, that he will be available to be there to take over if something happens to him. So there's a big machloikus in the Rishonim when we say maskin loy koyin achatachtov, that we designate another koyin to back him up. What does that mean? The Tosfos Rishonim says that a Kohen Hedyot only wears the Big Day Kohen Hedyot, whereas a Kohen Gadol has to wear not just the four Big Day Kohen Hedyot, but also has to wear the Big Day Zof. So says the Tosfos Rishonim that the halacha, as we're going to learn, is that Kohen has to wear clothing that fit him, that were made particularly for him. And therefore, this backup Kohen that they appoint, they would prepare for him Big Day Zov in case he ends up doing the Avodah. However, many Rishonim, the Tosfos HaRosh, and other Rishonim seem to suggest that there were no preparations needed. All they did was that they took this other Kohen and they said that you should be the backup for the Kohen Gadol if something Chas v'Shalom were to happen to him. And by the Kohen Gadol knowing, these Rishonim suggest, that there's another person who's already standing in the wings, who's prepared to take him over, that will properly motivate him to do the Avodah properly. There's a very interesting discussion. So as we just learned, most Rishonim are of the opinion that since this Kohen is a Kohen Hedyot, and he has the Big Day Lovin that he has to wear anyway, because that's what all the Kohanim wear. And those are the begadim that the Kohen who enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim wears as he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There is no reason for them to make special new Big Day Lovin. However, the Mishnah Melech and the Panim Yafis point out that the Gemara discusses if there was if the Avnate, if the belt that was worn by the Kohen Gedyet and the belt that was worn by the Kohen Gadol were one and the same type of belt, or was a different type of belt. So, according to the opinion that the Big Day Love, that the Avnate of the Kohen Gedyet and the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol are not one and the same, and that the Kohen Gedyet, this backup Kohen, since he has as a regular Kohen a set of Big Day Lovin, which is the primary clothing that we need to have for him, because that's the clothing that are worn as we enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the question is, but don't we have to make a special avnate for him, that he should have that avnate available if he's going to need to take over and go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the Achronim, as I said, the Mishnah Melech and the Panim Yafis suggest that although normally, as we said before, the begodim have to be made to fit the particular kohen who are going to wear that those begodim, the avnate of one kohen could be worn by another kohen. Because whereas when you're wearing a shirt or other begodim, they have to be made according to your size. The avnate was one long piece of material. So if this avnate was the avnate of the first Kohen Gadol, and now something happened to the first Kohen Gadol that we're going to be asking the second person to take over, so he'll be able to wear it. Why will you say that he's maybe skinnier or heavier than the other Kohen? It wouldn't make a difference. So we'll roll it around his body either more times or less times, but it won't be that we can't use that begad. And that's why, going back to where we began, we didn't have to make new begadim for this backup kohen, even if he ends up taking over the job. I saw that the Shalos HaTshuvos Chedvas Yaakov makes a point. He says, the Mishnah uses the words, U'mesaknen loy kohen acher tachtov. We appoint a different kohen. And he asks, why does the Mishnah use the word kohen acher? Why don't we say umasakan like kayin, that we point another kayin? So he explains that the Mishnah is being extremely specific by using that word. And the Mishnah is trying to teach us that it should be a kayin acher. It should be a different kayin. It should be somebody not related to him. For he explains, as we said a few moments ago, the purpose of appointing a second kayin was that this second Kohen will serve as a motivation to the first Kohen Gadol to do what he's supposed to do. So if we appoint somebody who's not a close relative of his, that will get the person motivated, the original Kohen Gadol motivated to do what's right. But if we're going to choose his son to be the backup, so the first Kohen Gadol will say, doesn't bother me if something happens to me. Because if it won't be I who's doing the avodah, it'll be my son. And a person is happy to see his son appointed to that position. And therefore, because that's the case, the halacha is we don't point the son. We point somebody who's not related, and that will be the individual that will get him to do the avodah. On the other hand, however, I saw that the Mefarshim point out that the Kohen Gadol, every Kohen Gadol had a scant Kohen. So if every Kohen Gadol had a scant Kohen, so why do we have to go look for another Kohen? Why don't we just use the scant Kohen? So the answer that as much as we want to motivate the Kohen, we also, on the other hand, don't want him to feel very threatened. And if we're going to go take his scant and appoint him to that position, he will feel very uncomfortable. So as much as we have to appoint a backup individual. We don't want that backup individual to be somebody that will really bother him so much that this is the person that's being appointed to be his backup. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheris, they also appointed for him a backup wife. Shema Tamas Ishtoi, because we have to be concerned that Chas V'Shalom, the Kohen Gadol's wife, will pass away. And the Torah, when it speaks about the avoided that the Kohen Gadol did, says, V'chipar Be'adoi U'bad Beisoi, Beisoi Zu Ishtoi. So I saw a beautiful word. If we look at Rashi, Rashi says, U'bad Beisoi Gabi Yom Kippurim K'sib Achrei Mois. Rashi is telling us, the where does this pasuk appear? This pasuk appears in Parshas Achrei Mois. And the question is, why does Rashi have to say that? We know that this is a pasuk in Achrei Mois. And in general, the question is, why does the Torah have to tell us? Why is the Parsha of Yom Kippur, we mentioned this at the beginning of Ashir, in Parshas Achrei Mois, not in Parshas Emor, where we find all the other halachas of Yom Tovim? So the Sefer Pnei Moshe answers, the pasuk says, V'yomos Nodav Aviyu, Abachanan Amar, why did Nodav Aviyu pass away? Ayidei Shloi Hoylem Noshim, because they didn't get married. And the pasuk says, V'ksiv V'chipa Ba'adu Ba'ad Beisoi Beisoi Ishtai. So now it's very geschmack. Rashi is telling us, where does the Torah teach us the halacha that a Kohen Gadol has to have a wife? Where does it say it? In Parshas Achrei Mois. Why does it say it in Achrei Mois? Because that was the Aveira of Nodav and Aviyu, Achrei Mois Shnei B'nei Aaron. So now we understand, with this, says Rashi, many halachas, many facts. Now we understand why Yom Kippur is an Achrei Mois. Because Yom Kippur, we want to teach that the Kohen Gadol has to have a wife. Where do we learn that it's so important to be married? Achrei Mois Shnei B'nei Aaron. We learned that from Nodav and Aviyu, who were punished for not being married. And that's why Yom Kippur is in Parshas Achrei Mois, and that's not an Emor. And that's all Rashi's trying to teach us with his words. Amalai, so the Chum say to Rabbi Yehuda, if we're concerned that the Kohen Gadol is going to be, wife will die, so then in Kehlon Davasayv, so why is it enough to just have one backup wife? Why should we not be concerned that the other wives, the same will happen to them as well? So the Mishnah here says, Shema Yir by Psul. So Rashi says, what's the concern? The concern is that maybe he'll become Tamei. So in the Yerushalmi on this Gemara, they ask that one of the Nisim that happened in the Beis Hamikdash is the Lo Yir by Psul, that the Kohen Gadol never got disqualified. So why do we need to do all these things for a backup if the Kohen Gadol never got disqualified anyway? So the Yerushalmi answers, because we have a rule. Ain't Samech Mal Nais. We don't want to rely on a Nais. It was Taka, never happened, but we don't want to rely on a Nais. Another teretz that the Yerushalmi suggests is that when it says that this Nais happened, that Kohen Gadol never got Tamei, that's only in the Beis Hamikdash Rishon. But our Mishnah is also speaking about the time of the Beis Hamikdash Sheni. Another pshat that the Mefarshim suggest is that Keri, which is a particularly difficult tumah, never happened in Beis Hamikdash, never happened to the Kohen Gadol. But different types of tumas could happen to the Kohen, could happen. And therefore, since that's possible to happen, that's why we had to have all these precautions, because that might happen. Panovich Rav points out that even though we're appointing a backup Kohen, we're supposed to look at this backup Kohen, says the Panovich Rav, as a shliach of the first Kohen. Because many of the Kabbonis, or some of the Kabbonis that this Kohen Gadol brought, he had to bring from his own funds. Now, do we make the backup Kohen prepare animals from his own funds? Because if we were to do so, points out the Panovich Rav, now if he ends up not having to do the avoida, what are we going to do with all of those backup animals? It must be that we use the animals that the first Kohen designated, and the second Kohen is considered a backup to the first Kohen. Based on our Mishnah, the halacha is that lechatchila, we should appoint a shliach tzibah on the Yomim and Roim, somebody who's married. Because just like we learned in our Mishnah, that we specifically have to have a married individual to be the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, so too, so when you pick a Baal Tefillah for the Yom and the Roim, it should be somebody who's married. However, the Mishnah Berurah tells us in that La'alocha, that if we have two candidates to be Baal Tefillah, and one is a Talmud Chacham and a Yerushalayim, but he's not married, and the second person doesn't have all of these qualifications, but he's married, certainly it's better to take the one who's not married, but is a bigger Talmud Chacham and a bigger Yerushalayim. So we've learned in our Mishnah that we have to have a Kohen Gadol, we have to separate the Kohen Gadol before the Avodah Yom Kippur. Begins the Gemara. Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah, Masech, the Parah, Paragamel, Mishnah Aleph teaches us, Shivas Shem Kohen Sref Saparah, 7 days before the Parah Aduma is prepared, Haimafrishin HaKohen Sref Saparah, Mibesai, we would separate the Kohen who did the Avodah from his home, Lelishka Shal Pnei Abira, to a place on the Bira, we're going to soon discuss what that means, Tzfoinim Mizracha, on the northeast side, Lishka Space HaEven Hoist Nekras, and that chamber was called Lishka Base HaEven. So the Pnei Yeshua points out that our Gemara is focusing now on the Parah Aduma. Shouldn't our Mishnah have first focused on the, shouldn't the Gemara first focus on what we're learning in our Masechta, the Din of Yom Kippur, and that the Kohen Gadol should be separated before Yom Kippur? So the Pnei Yeshua says that we need to separate a Kohen Gadol for 7 days before Yom Kippur, before he's going to do the Avodah, is something which is easily understood. And since it's easily understood, so that's why the Mishnah, even if we wouldn't have all of the different halachas, the limudim that we're about to learn, we would understand that halacha. But the Kohen who's going to do the Avodah, the Parah Aduma, that's a chiddush, that should be the halacha. That's why the Gemara is focused on that first. So says the Gemara, V'lama nikra shma lishkas beis ha'evin, why was that chamber called the beis ha'evin? Shekol maseho, all of the avodah that was done, all the kalim, all the vessels that were used, the kli with glolim, were made out of kalim from waste of an animal that dried up, kli avonim, or stone kalim, or kli adama, clay kalim. All of them are not mekabel tumah. Ask the Gemara, why are we so concerned to use kalim that are not mekabel tumah? Explains the Gemara, my tama, why are we so concerned? That kiven the tefil yoyim, kosher bepara. The halach is that if somebody becomes tamei, then he goes to the mikveh. And until that night, until he has harif shemesh, until night passes, he's considered a tefil yoyim. A tefil yoyim is a person who has a level of tumah. It's a very low level tumah, but it is tamei. And we held, this was one of the big machloikes between the tzedukim and the Purushim. The tzedukim held that a person who's a tefil yoyim can't do the avodah. He's tamei. And a person who's tamei can't do the avodah, the Parah Aduma. We held that they may. The Tanan and the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Parah, they deliberately would make the person who is doing the avodah tamei. There's machlokes rishonim. What does that mean? Rashi says that they would have a sheretz touch him, and therefore he would become tamei midaraisa. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that even though we want to make him tamei, we don't make him tamei midaraisa. We make him tamei midarabonan. And even though if he were tamei midaraisa, he would be allowed to do the avoid if he was a tefil yoyim. Tosfos feels, explains the Priska Rav, that it's not appropriate that a person, that we should deliberately make a person tamei midaraisa, and therefore we could just do it a tamei derabanan. L'hoitzi milim shut stoikim, to show that we don't agree with the stoikim. Shiyomrim, they held that a person's a tefillin may not do the avodah. Only someone who's a merave shemesh, somebody who had hair of shemesh, hoisinasis, only such a kind could do the avodah. The kinala rabbanon. So Chazal now, because we see that we're allowing somebody who's tamei to do the avodah, there's a concern that people will not treat it properly. So they went to the other extreme and they said kinala kli glolim kli avonim kli adama. These are all types of vessels, as we said, that are not mekabel tuma. That people should chas v'shalom not come to the be mezalzel in the chshivas of the paraduma. We wanted, explains the Chassam Sofer, to go to a great extreme to show that we don't agree with the tzedakim, and that's why if they say that we don't do what they said. And that's an answer to a question that I saw the Achroinim ask. This is a situation where the Tzedakim are more machmer than we are. They say somebody's a Tful Yoim can't do the Avoida of Paraduma. And we said he can. So why shouldn't we follow their Chumrah? To teach us that the Torah says, Loisosum ikol advar mashanoich mitzav eschem yom and a small. We're supposed to follow what Chazal teach us. We're supposed to follow what Chazal teach us, even if it represents a kula. That's why we go out of our way to use such a person to show that we're going to follow what Chazal teach us, even if it represents a kula. Another pshat that I saw, why they went out of their way, because since in the history of the Parah Aduma, there were kahanim who did the avodah who were tful yoim. If we're going to be machmer to specifically use an individual who's not a tful yoim, people are going to start thinking that if there were paradumas, the procedure was done through a kohen who was a tful yoim, there may be something wrong with that paraduma. To show that there's nothing wrong at all with those paradumas, we specifically used kahanim in all generations who were tful yoim to make sure that nobody would question the kashrus of the paraduma. So ask the Gemara, we took this kohen and put him in a chamber, Tzfoyne Mizracha, on the northeast. Ask the Gemara why specifically there. Says the Gemara, Kivin de Chatasi, since the paraduma is called Chatas, and whenever we bring a kohen Chatas to an Tzofen, it always has to be brought on the north side of the Zara. Furthermore, the Torah, when it speaks about the paradumic sieve, the kohen would stand on Harazesim and face the east side of the Beis HaMikdash. So Tkinula Rabbanon, Chazal said that the Lishka, where the chamber where this kohen who's going to do this avoida, should be Tzfoyne Mizrach in the northeast. So Posh Pshat is that they put in the northeast, the north, to remember that it's similar to a Karmat Chattas, the Torah calls it a Chattas. But I saw another pshat. The halacha is, when we speak about the Karmat Chattas, the halacha regarding Karmat Chattas is that if it's brought Shaloi Lishma, it's possible. And we want to teach that so too is the Paraduma. The Paraduma has to be brought Lishma. So we learned before that this place was in the Bira. Ask the Gemara, why was it called, what is the Bira? There was a special place in the Harabayis that was called Bira. And as the Gevura Sari explains, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the entire Beis HaMikdash compound is called Bira. But on that entire compound, there was also a special place called Bira. So we learned that our Mishnah, going back to we quoted the Mishnah Masechta Parah, that both the kohen who did the procedure of the Parah Aduma and the kohen who of Yom Kippur, we separated for 7 days. Ask the Gemara anonymously, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yumi bar Chilkiya, Amar Mchasi bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kro. The Torah says that the kohanim who are going to do the avoida, to be inaugurated to do the avoida in the Mishkan, had to have shivas meim luim, 7 days before the inauguration of the Mishkan, to be separated and be in the Beis HaMikdash preparing for that great event. And the pasuk says there, "Kashu yosu b'yom hazeh," as was done then, "Tziva Hashem lasois l'chaper aleichem." Says the Gemara, "Lasois." We learn from here, "Elamase paro," that before the kohen is going to do the avodah, the paro also should be separated. "L'chaper" refers to Masi Yom Kippurim. Says the Gemara, "Bishlam akula b'paro le'matukam." We can't explain that that entire pasuk is only speaking about paro aduma, because the pasuk says "L'chaper ksiv." Para labas kaparihi. Para is not primarily for kapara. Even though I saw that the Mefarshim point out that the Torah says Loman nismecha misat sadikim. What does the Torah speak about the ptira of Miriam next to para aduma to teach us that just misat ma para mechaperis, just like the para aduma is mechaper, kach misat sadikim mechaperis. But still, the main point of the para aduma is not for kapara. The main point of the paraduma is that we should be able to have tahara. So the word l'chaper cannot be referring to the paraduma. But ask the Gemara, ela ema kula b'yom kippur k'siv. Maybe all that pasuk is just teaching us is that 7 days before Yom Kippur, the kohen gadol who's going to do the avodah should be separated. Why should we say that the pasuk is also speaking about paraduma? Answers the Gemara, amra yalav tzivet tziva. The pasuk uses the word here it says regarding the Shiva Shemaim Luim, Tziva Hashem Lasois, the Ksiv Hosom regarding the Paraduma, the Torah says, Zois Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Lemer, Mala Halon. So the Torah uses the word Tziva, Afkan, and then the Torah is speaking about the Paraduma, Afkan, it's the Paraduma. Umak Akan, and when we speak about the Shiva Shimumaluim, the Prisha, we're learning that the Kohanim had to be separated for 7 days before they came to the inauguration of the Mishkan. Aflahalan, so too by the Paraduma, it's teaching us Prisha. But ask the Gemara, the Ema, but maybe we should interpret this Gzeir Shava to say Tziva Tziva the Yom Kippurim. We're going to learn Gzeir Shava from the Shiva Shemayim Luim to Yom Kippur. The Ksib, because the Torah says by Yom Kippurim, V'yas Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Maisha. And again, the question is, so maybe this Pasuk is only teaching us a halacha regarding Yom Kippur and not teaching us anything regarding Paraduma. As I saw, the Shas Tshuvas Yehuda Yala says that we know the Gemara says in many places that ain't Adam don gzeirah shava ma'atzmai. A person can't make up his own gzeirah shava. So how could the Gemara, he asks, suggest that the gzeirah shava should be connecting Yom Kippur to Shiva Shemei Meluim when the gzeirah shava that they had from Rebbe to Talmud taught us that it's connecting Paraduma to Yom Kippur? So he answers, when the Gemara says that ain't Adam don gzeirah shava ma'atzmai, what the Gemara means to say is, we can't make up our own Gzeirah Shava. But they had a Kabbalah that is Gzeirah Shava Tziva Tziva, that the Torah connects the two words Tziva. But it didn't specifically say which Tziva it's supposed to be. And that's why we learn from here that the Tziva that's supposed to be, maybe it should be connecting Yom Kippur and not Paraduma. Answers the Gemara, Tziva Lefnei Asiya, Mit Tziva Lefnei Asiya. When we look at the word tziva that the Torah uses by paraduma, and we look at the word tziva that the Torah uses by shiva shemei meluim, the word asi in both places it says tziva and then asiya. Vein donen, whereas by Yom Kippur the tziva is said after the asiya. Lach asiya mitziva lachnei asiya. Ask the Gemara. Ve'ema, maybe the Gzeir Shav is Tziv de Kabonis, and the Ksiv B'yoyim Tzavosoy as B'nai Yisrael. There it says, B'yoyim Tzavosoy as B'nai Yisrael, Lakros Kavineyem. And maybe I'll use that Tziv as the Gzeir Shav, and say from there we learn that whenever somebody's going to bring a carbon, he has to separate himself 7 days before. Answers the Gemara, it's not a perfect match. Don and Tziva Mitziva. By Paraduma, the Torah uses the word Tziva. By Shiva Shemei Meluim, the Torah uses the word Tziva. By Kabonis, the Torah doesn't use the word Tziva. It says Tzavoy So, which is not a perfect match with Tziva with the word Tziva. Ask the Gemara, is to determine Gzeirah Shava, do we need to have an exact match? Or my Nafkamina, do we have to have an exact match? But Tanit Bei Rishmo, the Rishmo taught us this Gzeirah Shava. The Torah says, V'shava kayin, uva kayin. One place the Torah uses the word v'shav, and one pasuk the Torah uses the word uvah. And we learn from here, zui shiva zui biya. This is regarding the halacha if there's nigei batim. That the halacha is that if there's a nega identified in a home, and if in the first week there was a nega identified, we quarantine the home for a week. And if after a week nothing changed, we quarantine the home for a second week. And after the second week, it expanded. Pasa hanega. So we would think that if it expanded after the second week, we should demolish the home. Says Rabbi Shmuel Gzeir Shava, that just like if it expanded after the first week, the halacha is we take out those bricks and replace them, so too is the halacha if it expanded after the second week. We don't immediately demolish the home. We do take out the bricks, replace them, and see what's going to happen after the third week. Even though the Torah doesn't say that explicitly is what we should do after the second week, we know that halacha by making Gzeir Shava, that in one place it says V'shava Koyin, and one place it says V'vah Koyin, we make such a Gzeir Shava. But the question is, V'shav U'bah are certainly not identical words. And even though they're not identical words, we're learning Gzeir Shava. So why are you telling me, asked the Gemara, that we can't learn Gzeir Shava, because in one place it says Tziva, and one place it says Tzavoysoi? Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili, when can we learn Gzeir Shava? Even though the words are not an exact match, hecha de leka de domile, where there's no other match. So it's good enough. If we have an option, should we learn tziva tziva, or should we learn tziva tzavoysoi? Hecha de domile opinion. Of course, we prefer to look for the exact match. We learned before that the pasuk says, lechaper, elamas yom kippurim, and that's how we know that before Yom Kippur, as we started our Masechta, we have to separate the Kohen Gadol. But ask the Gemara, maybe that pasuk is coming to teach the Kapar of the Kaparas. Kabanas, that whenever a carbon is brought, we have to separate the Kohen before. Answers the Gemara, Miyadinan. That's not an option, because we don't know high Kohen Misrami. We don't know which Kohen is going to do the Avodah. And since we don't know for sure which Kohen is going to be the Avoida, is going to do the Avoida, we can't go say that we should separate all the Kahanim because they may end up being doing the Avoida. And even though, as I saw the Mefarshim point out, there was a system of Mishmairis and Gairolis, but that isn't essential. Amri, so ask the Gemara, Alam Alay. Yes, we don't know which kohen is going to do the avodah, but we know that it's going to be a kohen for that mishmer. So nibay leprisha lekula mishmeres beis av. All the kohanim are going to do avodah that week, that day, should be separated. Answers the Gemara. Don and davish kfula is man. Yom Kippur has a specific date, 10 days in Tishrei. Medavish kfula is man. The shiva shmei meluim had a specific date. Rosh Chodesh Nissan was the 8th day. Lafuke Kabanis, when we speak about regular Kabanis, to be called Yom Esnuah, any day of the year they are brought. So ask the Gemara, Veim Regalim, maybe when the Torah says L'chaper, it's speaking about Yom Tovim, which have a specific time. Every Yontif, of course, has a specific date when the Yontif falls. And maybe the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us that before the Yom Tovim, we have to separate the Kohanim who are going to do the Avodah. Answers the Gemara. Donin Dovishnoi Pamach Mishana. We learn to Yom Kippur, which is a one-day event, Medava Hanoi Pamach Mishana, from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, which is a one-day event, Lafuk Regolim, La Pamach Mishana, who there are more than one Yontif in the year. But ask the Gemara, Eimer Regal Echad. So maybe one of the Yom Tovim should be the halacha is that we should separate 7 days before. I, says the Gemara V'chitema, and what you'll counter-argue is lo yedinim ha'imenayu, if we'll say by one of the Shalosh Regalim, we have to separate the Kohen, but we won't know which one. Because if it's Chag HaMatzis, maybe we'll say it's Pesach, because Pesach is special, Hoyel Pas Batchila, it's the first Yom Tovim. Or maybe we'll say it's Chag HaSukkos, because Sukkos is the Yontif, Merubah Mitzvosoi, it has the most mitzvahs. So it'll be one of those two Yom Tovim. And as I saw many Mefarshim say, since we wouldn't know, we would have to treat both Yom Tovim that way. Says the Gemara, the reason we can't say it's that Yom Tov, El Donan Precious Shivas Yom Echad, at the Shivas Shemei Meluim, we separated for 7 days to be prepared for one day, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the day of the Chanukah HaMishkan. And the same thing is by Yom Kippur. Precious Shiva, we separate the Kohen Gadol for 7 days, Yom Echad for Yom Kippur. They ain't done it, but it doesn't make sense to learn from the Precious Shiva to separate the Kohen for 7 days, L'Shiva for Yonta, which is 7 days. We don't, Precious Shiva Shiva and Yom Echad. No, it's the Gemara keeps on going back to the same concept. We want to make the best comparison. Yom Kippur, which is a one-day event, is a better comparison to Rosh Chodesh Nissan than a Yom Tov, which is 7 days long. Says the Gemara, but maybe Shmini, maybe we'll say it's talking about Shmini at Tzeres, which would also be a separation for 7 days. L'yom Echad, Shmini at Tzeres is a one-day Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, Don and Davish Ein Kedush Lefanov, but Davish Ein Kedush Lefanov. The days before Yom Kippur don't represent days of Yom Tov. The days before Rosh Chodesh Nissan don't represent Yom Tov. Although Shmini Atzeres indeed is a one-day Yom Tov, but it's a one-day Yom Tov that is preceded by 7 days of Yom Tovim. And therefore, again, the Gemara is saying the comparison is not a great comparison. But ask the Gemara, the Lav Kavachoyma, who? But I can make a counter Kavachoyma. Hashtag, if we're Dovish Ein Kedush Lefonov, if we speak about Rosh Chodesh Nissan, with the days before that Rosh Chodesh Nissan, as we just said, weren't days of Kedusha, the Halacha by Prisha. So therefore, Shmini Atzeres, which has so much Kedusha infused in Shmini Atzeres, because it's a day, Sheyesh Kedusha Lefanav, that's preceded by days of Yom Tovim, like Kalshkein, that you should have to have Prisha. Says the Gemara, Omer Ramashia. The Torah says, Hazeksiv, Kezeh, that it has to be comparable. And therefore, since Shmini Atzeres is not comparable to the Shiva Shmei Meluim, and then the day after the Shiva Shmei Meluim, as much as the Svara, as much as logic would maybe tell me that we should compare it, logic is not enough. The Pasuk is what is determining. And the comparison of Yom Kippur is a much better comparison than Shmini Atzeres.